Imagine getting a report card where the critical systems that keep your daily life running get a D.
Right. Like your water, your power, the roads you drive on.
Exactly. And that isn't some, hypothetical scenario. That's the actual stark reality the Western Cape is facing right now.
Yeah, a D rating from the South African Institution of Civil Engineering, which basically means there's a widespread imminent risk of failure across all those systems.
It's pretty grim.
It is. And you combine that fragile foundation with, high unemployment and sluggish economic growth,
Yep.
and you've got a region that is just operating under constant immense strain.
Welcome to today's deep dive. We're unpacking a massive blueprint that aims to, well, pull those grades up and future-proof the entire region.
The Western Cape Infrastructure Implementation Plan 2050, or the WCIIP 2050 for short.
Right. And our goal today is to show you why this document is way more than just like a construction manual. It's essentially a rewrite of the physical operating system of your life.
Absolutely. But to really understand how it works, you have to look at the whole trilogy of documents it belongs to.
Okay, so break that down for us.
Well, the Western Cape government created a framework, a strategy, and then this implementation plan.
I like to think of it like building a house. So the framework is the architect's vision, like what the final structure should look like.
Exactly, the big picture.
Right. And then the strategy is the engineer's schematic, figuring out the actual physics of where the plumbing and the load-bearing walls have to go.
And that makes the implementation plan, the contractor who's actually swinging the hammers.
Yeah, the boots on the ground. And this plan prioritizes, quick to deploy labor-intensive projects so people can get to work immediately while those critical pipes are being fixed.
But here's the catch. The government just cannot swing all those hammers alone. Upgrading an entire region's infrastructure requires massive private capital.
Right, they need public-private partnerships. But bringing private companies into public works has historically been fraught with some pretty systemic problems.
Yeah, the source material is surprisingly blunt about this flaw. It points out that in traditional mega projects, risks were often socialized while profits were privatized.
Meaning, if a project went over budget or just failed completely, the taxpayer absorbed the blow. But if it succeeded, the private company walked away with a massive windfall.
Which is honestly not sustainable. So the WCIIP demands an end to that dynamic. It enforces equitable risk-reward sharing.
They are also completely redefining what value for money means in a government contract, right?
They are. It's no longer just about accepting the cheapest financial bid. Value now requires long-term societal gain, like creating local jobs, using sustainable materials, and, building resilient communities.
Hold on, though. I have to push back here. If you tell a private corporation they suddenly have to shoulder way more financial risk and you mandate that they have to care about social value, aren't they just going to take their money somewhere else?
It's a really fair question.
I mean, they aren't charities. You risk scaring off the exact investment you desperately need.
And that right there is the core tension of the entire plan. How do you mandate social good without terrifying private capital?
So how do they actually do it?
The answer lies in radical organization. They are building what the plan calls a bankable project portfolio.
Oh, right. So instead of just pitching vague ideas to investors, the government is building this highly structured four-step pipeline.
Yes, they filter every potential project through these panoptic principles.
Panoptic, meaning seeing the whole picture all at once.
Exactly. Because instead of finding out, say, a year into construction that there's a hidden environmental block or some legal loophole, this process catches all of that up front.
So it systematically assesses the core public need, tests the technical feasibility, and packages the legal and financial structures.
And only then does it match the project to the right investor.
So by the time a project actually lands on an investor's desk, it has already cleared the bureaucratic, the technical, and the legal hurdles. The guesswork is just completely gone.
That's the genius of it. Investors will accept lower profit margins and stricter social rules if you remove the uncertainty.
Because the government is absorbing the messy front-end planning risk to turn a complex public work into a safe, predictable bet for the private sector.
Exactly.
So what does this ultimately mean for you, the listener? This isn't just about pouring concrete. This plan dictates your future access to economic opportunity.
It dictates the reliability of your basic services. and honestly, how well your community will withstand climate or economic shocks over the next few decades.
It really is the master plan for the region's survival.
Without a doubt.
And as we look toward 2050, the very definition of infrastructure is shifting.
Yeah.
The plan places a heavy emphasis on Industry 4.0, you know, embedding the Internet of Things and AI directly into these projects.
Oh, yeah. We are talking about sensors in water pipes that detect leaks before a single drop is wasted.
Or AI optimizing traffic grids in real time to reduce emissions. It really makes you wonder, you know, decades from now, will managing our future cities be less about maintaining the physical concrete and more about managing the invisible data networks connecting our physical world?